recent months, you've probably heard me lament about the public opinion polls among Catholics in our nation showing that about half of Catholics in our nation do not believe that the Eucharist is indeed the Eucharist. They will say in these polls that it is merely a symbol, but it's not really the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. And I'm really surprised when I read these poll numbers, because I ask myself, how can somebody claim to be Catholic? How can they practice their Catholic faith not believing in the essential element of our faith, of the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith? Everything in our faith flows from the Eucharist, and everything in our faith flows back towards the Eucharist. It is Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. So everything in our faith is related to the Eucharist in one way or another. And whenever somebody removes the Eucharist, the central teaching of the Eucharist, that it is indeed the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, whenever you remove that from the faith, then nothing else is going to make sense. Maybe that's why many of those same polls show that about the same number of Catholics who are polled saying that the Eucharist is only a symbol, about the same number show that they don't attend Mass. They don't actively practice their Catholic faith. And that makes sense. If you don't believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist, then why go to Mass? So I am surprised. I am surprised, but in a way, I'm not really surprised. I'm not surprised. This is something, this unbelief in the Eucharist, it's not something which started just 5 or 10 years ago. It's not something which started a couple of decades ago. It's not something which started a couple of centuries ago. But it was from the beginning that there would be people who doubted. And the proof is in the gospel which we hear today. We begin by hearing that there's people murmuring. Jesus is entering into the Bread of Life discourse, which we heard the introduction to last Sunday. So he's entering into this very beautiful, important part of John chapter 6, in which Jesus is going to describe very clearly that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink, and unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we do not have life within us. And he's very clear about that. And it's in today's gospel, it starts out that people are murmuring, they're questioning, they're doubting. And that provokes a response in Jesus to go into this very beautiful explanation of what, or I should say, of who the bread of life truly is. If you look at some of the early Roman records, some of the early Roman secular historians, I'm not talking about church historians, but secular Roman historians. And if you begin to read the early documents of the church of Rome, when the church is really starting to develop in the first couple of decades and centuries of the church, you get a very good idea or glimpse of what is happening. And in one of these documents, one of these secular Roman historians, these court reporters basically, are giving the label of cannibal to Christians. They're saying that the people in Rome, or many of the people in Rome, are calling the Christians cannibals. And that label, it was as offensive back then as it is now. It's taboo. Even in our society today, it's something very, very bad, even in our society, which is telling you something about cannibalism. You know, a person who eats another human being for food. So this label is being given to the Christians of cannibals. And in a way, it makes sense, right? I mean, if somebody doesn't have a proper understanding of what's happening in these Christian liturgies, which we now call Holy Mass, if you're hearing something second or third or fourth hand, that these Christians are eating a person's flesh and drinking a person's blood, then of course they're going to be labeled cannibals. because this is something which was believed from the very beginning of Christianity. It's not only in the sacred scriptures, but it's also in Roman records recorded by secular Romans. Isn't that interesting? From the very beginning, people thought this. And that's why I mentioned last week also, if you're to attend an evangelical Christian church, almost any Protestant denominational Christian church, you're not going to hear John chapter 6 preached. You're not going to hear John chapter 6 proclaimed, especially for those churches which say that the scriptures are the true, inerrant, completely accurate word of God. And they take the scriptures completely literally, except for John chapter 6, because if you take John chapter 6 literally, guess what? You become Catholic. You become Catholic. Because Jesus is very clear in it. You will not hear John 6 preached or proclaimed in many Christian Protestant churches. Because if you read it and you believe it, well, then you have to believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. I would like to conduct a social experiment. Beginning tomorrow, I'm not really going to do this because it will require resources which I don't have, at least the second part. But tomorrow, I want to contact every person in this local diocese who claims to be Catholic. Okay, I want to contact every Catholic in this diocese, and I want to tell them that next Sunday, at this Mass, at AHEC, at 11:05, I'm going to give them God. I'm going to give them God at Mass next Sunday. And I want to see how many people will come out. This morning we have 115. I'll be interested to see if more come next Sunday. When I tell them, I'm going to give you God, which is, by the way, what I'm going to give you at this Mass and every Holy Mass. So the following week, I want to contact all those same people, and I want to tell them this. I'm going to give them $10,000 in cash. $10,000 in cash if they come to Mass. Come to Mass, here's 10 grand, no questions asked. And I want to determine if there's going to be a difference in the numbers between next week when I tell people that I'm going to give them God, and the week after when I tell them I'm going to give them $10,000. I have a suspicion that there will probably be a few more people here the following week. I just don't understand why people don't believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. But it makes sense, because if people really believed it, then this Mass would be completely full, and every other Mass. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Usually I hear this in the context of a parent telling a child to stop eating junk food. Stop eating that. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. And I know some athletes, some collegiate athletes, I know some semi-professional and even some professional athletes, they're very conscientious about what they bring into their body. They're very cautious about what enters into their mouth, because they want to make sure that it's nutritious, because they realize they are what they eat. And if they are eating junk food, they're not going to be able to be a very good athlete. Well, as Christians, we become what we eat. We become more conformed to Jesus Christ every time we receive the Holy Eucharist. When we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, we become more like that food, which is God Himself. Perhaps you've been in the presence of somebody who's being anointed by a priest on their deathbed, and if the person is conscious or alert, more often than not, the priest will try to give that person Holy Communion. This last Holy Communion that the person receives is called viaticum. Viaticum. It literally means food for the journey. So it's food for that person's spiritual journey through death into eternal life. And it's the same viaticum, the same food for the journey which we hear about in the first reading when Elijah's out in the desert and he thinks he's going to die. So he goes to sleep, thinking he's going to die in his sleep. God wakes him up. God places bread next to Elijah, says, "Eat this, and you need to go on a journey after this." Elijah goes to sleep one more time. God wakes him up again. Elijah eats this, and it sustains him for his journey to Mount Horeb to visit God for 40 days and 40 nights. That bread which Elijah gives to which God gives to Elijah sustains him for that spiritual and that physical journey. And whenever we hear the number 40 in the scriptures, it should make us spiritually alert. We think of the 40 days and nights which Noah is on the water in the flood. We think of the 40 years in which the Jewish nation is in the Sinai desert. We think of the 40 days in which Jesus is in the desert being tempted. So that number 40, in many ways, it symbolizes a spiritual and sometimes even a physical journey that a person or a group is making. And in a similar way, the bread of life, the Eucharist, sustains us in our journey in this world, especially our spiritual journey, as we look forward to entering into eternal life. The bread of life, the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ in his flesh and blood in the Holy Eucharist sustains us. Just as the manna sustained the Jewish nation in the desert, just as that bread which God placed for Elijah sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights, the Eucharist sustains you and I. So the question could be, what do I do if I do not fully believe? What if I'm part of that crowd in today's gospel which is murmuring and saying, how can this be? It's a symbol, right? And as we'll hear 2 weeks from now, Jesus will double down. He'll say, "This is not a symbol." He'll say, "Truly, truly, I tell you, amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no eternal life." So Jesus makes it very clear, and we'll hear in 2 weeks, that people actually leave because they cannot accept it. So what happens if we're in that group and we're struggling to believe, but we're just not sure? Well, I have some recommendations for you. The first is to read John chapter 6. Go home today, open your Bible, John chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible at home, your smartphone could probably find you John chapter 6 very quickly. And read through it very slowly. The second time you read through it, pray through it line by line and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart, to open your mind to what Jesus is presenting in this Bread of Life discourse. So the first way is to read John chapter 6 and to pray through it. The second way is to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially during exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, during adoration, in which the Eucharist, the consecrated host, is brought out before the people, placed on the altar so people can kneel and worship our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And once again, ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart, to open your mind, to truly believe that the Eucharist is indeed the Eucharist. The third way is through exercising great reverence at Mass. Knowing that when you're in line for communion, it's different than when you're in line at the grocery store. You are in line, you are preparing to approach God. So our words, our actions, our postures manifest that reality. We're preparing to receive God. And also preparing before Holy Mass by going through the readings and getting to the church early to pray. Once again, ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind to this belief, this central belief, this essential teaching of Holy Mother Church, that the Eucharist truly is the flesh and blood of the Son of God, viaticum, food for our spiritual journey. Praise be Jesus Christ.